Good morning, church.
Morning.
I hate to let you down, but after those voices, you're still going to hear mine. There's a special privilege about being on the platform. There's a story in the Bible of where Jesus sat in the temple by the treasury watching people come and go. And this morning, I got a little insight as to why he did that. There's something about watching family come into worship. And as I sat here and watched people come in the back door, I didn't see a frown. I see people hurrying in to sit with their family. I saw smiles on people's faces. It looked like a people who were glad to be here. And it thrills my soul. It really does. But you also get a little insight. Olive, it doesn't matter how tall you stand on your toes, you're not catching up to grace. You know, you see things that you get the privilege of seeing things other things people don't see. You know, Chuck, David, when you asked your question, where'd you go? About who was glad school's out? You know the highest hand in the sanctuary this morning? Marion's. And Gabby, if you can find 8 adults in this church, please point them out to me. But you can put Cheryl and my names on that list. But like I said, I'd like to find 8 adults, but let's bow our heads. Our loving Heavenly Father, it is so good to be worshiping you. Father, I ask for your Spirit to be upon me, that the words I speak will be from you. Give me clearness of thought. But Father, most of all, I ask that you would send your Holy Spirit that to the people, that they would understand. Crystal told me not to do that, but I did it anyway. She said, swallow. As per my course, I've been talking about the sanctuary, and I think I'm going to continue, but I think as I thought through the past few weeks, there's things I've slipped by. Sometimes we get to studying the tree so closely that we get right up to it, and it's interesting. We can see detail and beauty, but sometimes it's time to step back and see the forest. And sometimes you need to step a pretty good ways back and you see the forest. And there's beauty in the forest that you stand back and you see just how beautiful it is. But the wonderful thing is that in the sanctuary, when you stand back and look at it, it's beautiful. But when you get up and you pull it apart and you look at the minutiae of detail there, there's great beauty there also. So it's not like a billboard where it looks good from a distance. But when you get up, you say, man, those guys didn't do a very good job. So I'd like to back up a little bit today and do a little review and cover some things that I may have let slip by. Because there's several important things that we need to realize and look at. You know, in the sanctuary and a service. And the first is strictly about the character of God, about his holiness, about how he deals with us, because that's what the sanctuary is. It's his expression. It shows how he deals with our sin, with our sin problem, because one of God's attributes is justice. He is a just God, and he can't just give you a free pass. It'd be nice if he could. A lot of people think that. A lot of people think that all you have to do is, I'm going to be careful, I'm going to back away. But one of the main lessons that I picked up this week is there's no free rides. In this world, and to get to the next, there's nothing free. Everything has a cost. And you have to pay a cost for your salvation. Do you believe that? A lot of people don't. Turn with me to Matthew 16 and verse 26. In my Bible, these are red letters. It says, for what? Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, if any man, beginning in verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There is a cost. We all have to give something. Salvation is not free. And that is the ultimate question that's answered through God's sanctuary, is what is the cost? What is a man worth? What's a human life worth? To God, all of heaven. That he poured out all heaven in the gift of his Son. Not just for a people, for a belief. You know who that person is? Say it with me. Puts great value on you. But there's something I learned this weekend, that there is a legal process here, that because God is just, he is bound by his own law. And so there is a process to law. We live in an age where everybody wants to go to court. Everybody wants to sue somebody. Why anybody would want to appear on Judge Judy on TV, I don't know. But people want to go to court. But before you get to court, there's a process to go through. You have to jump through all the hurdles, cross all the T's, and dot all the I's. If you skip anything in the process, several years ago I was trying to be involved in a suit. And when I contacted the appropriate people, they said, you have got a very good case here. We would love to take this case, except you didn't do this. And it becomes confetti. It's absolutely no good. So we have to do it all. There's a lot of people that just, they believe in Jesus dying on the cross. And they want to go from there straight into God's presence. It doesn't work that way. Matthew, a rant. Hebrews 12. It's a verse that we hear a lot. It says, let us come boldly into his presence. But there's a process before that, isn't there? What is it? It says, let us lay aside the weight which so easily besets us. What is that weight? It's our sins. It's our sins. See, but we want to see. It's a difficult thing to try and explain, because we are dealing with flesh and blood. We are linear people. You start here. You take this step, and you're here. And then when you completed this step, you go here. And you move through the process until you finally come to the culmination. Fortunately, we deal with a God who is not bound by time or space. When we come to him, in his eye, he sees us all the way over here. He sees us finished. Now, he knows we're not, but he sees us already there. And that's what the sanctuary teaches us, is to go through the process, because we are drawn to him by his goodness. That's why he set the whole thing up, so he could show himself. He said, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among my people. But one of God's attributes is also his holiness. And we cannot approach unto him in our present condition. If we did, the result is spontaneous combustion. Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons, anointed to the priesthood, went in improperly, and they were consumed. One of the kings of Israel presumed to make an offering, and he was struck down. We cannot enter into his presence presumptuously. But the other side of God's character, his chief attribute, is love. It is love. You know, the text I just mentioned, let them make me a sanctuary. What did they make him? A tent. He left heaven in the adoration of angels to come live in a tent. Steve, you and all have been tent camping. We've heard the fiascos. When you live in a tent, what happens? Almost anything. If you're here at graduation, you heard Pastor's story about swimming in his tent. But in the camp of Israel, the tents were set up. There was an orderliness to it. If you live in a tent, how loudly do you speak? Not very. Are you a little more careful what's on your phone? What's on your computer? How you speak to your husband, your children? You know, if God is in the next tent, how thick are the walls? Does it put a little more impetus on living a whole? But see, something else it does that we overlook. It puts a great responsibility on us to look out for our brothers and our sisters. Because if I know Matt is beating Michelle, and God is over here, and he knows it, and he knows that I know it, what am I supposed to do? Number one, I'm supposed to intercede with for my brother. But I'm also supposed to intercede with my brother. And that means that we have to have a relationship between the two of us. I have to know him well enough that I can say, Matt, Dale, whatever it is, we need to work this out. But he knows. But he came to live. It's bad when you say everything you need to say in 5 minutes. But because of his love, he doesn't leave us. He shows us. But I talked a minute ago about the cost. In everything we've talked about up to this point in the sanctuary has been involved a cost. When you see, if you're attracted to someone because of their beauty or their character, there's a contrast there, isn't there? Because you see their good points, and generally your negative points kind of come to your mind. You say, man, I need to work on these and get rid of them. When you accept Christ as your Savior, something, and you realize your sin, something has to die for that. In this system, it was a lamb. In actuality, it's Christ. We have to die to ourselves. Baptism represents death to what I want and a newness of life. And so everything up to this point has been, the next time I speak, it'll be a little bit longer than this. It will be on the next step. Because when we enter into the tabernacle, into the holy place, God is taking us from where we were, and he's accepted us. But he doesn't leave us where we were. Even though he did accept us, this is the changing act. This is where he begins to work on us and to make us different. To make us able to, because this is where he teaches us, he feeds us, and he polishes us. There's so much beauty in this sanctuary that I think is one of the great neglected truths that we hold. Have you ever been to a jewelry store? Admit it. You don't have to hold up your hand. But when I'm sure you've bought by the mall and looked in, and you look in, and it's all clean. And it's attractive. And the jewels, whichever one they are, watches, they're in a case. We are the case that God has prepared. That's the only reason it's the only reason this church, this country is here, is to present. We have been blessed like the children of Israel with the oracles of God. There's nothing beautiful in us, except the fact that God has put these truths. And just like that jewelry case they're sitting in, it's polished, it's shined, there's not any nicks and dings on it. And the lights are hitting it just so that everything sparkles. But what happens when there's no salesman in there? What are the salespeople doing when there's no customers? They're polishing. They're polishing the jewels, and they're also polishing the display case. Have you ever wondered why things happen in your life? God wants to shine. Sometimes it's spit on a hanky. Sometimes it's lava on a sunburn. But he wants to make us to shine so that we can live his truths in a way that is beautiful. It's not drudgery. It's like when we were coming here to worship. That's what he wants us to live like. Be glad to be, to have that song in our heart, a smile on our face, not because I've got a good job, because I've got a beautiful wife, or I've got a great income, and he has given me all. And those were free. But to accept them, I had to put me out of the way. One day, we're going to stand. Are you ready for it? I mean, I'm not asking, do you want to be there? Are you ready? Because there is a preparation to be made. This week, I hope you go home and read through what the sanctuary has to teach us about that, about preparing God, especially the work in the first apartment. As you read that and realize what it really means, that we don't start, we don't leave the altar of sacrifice and go straight to the Most Holy. He leads us step by step and helps us to grow. My prayer is that I will be able to stand before God and see Him. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank You. We ask Your blessing upon us. Forgive us for our shortcoming, for our neglect. Help us, Father, to shine for You, that we would bring glory and honor to You in our day-to-day, that we would realize the value that You place on us. Open our eyes.